Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. It is most appropriate that we step back from the day-to-day events of our own lives and from transitory news events of the day and look at the big picture. Above all other things, the question of what we are going to do with our lives and with our very limited time on Earth. There is no better way to do this than to listen to the words of William Luther Pierce, the founder of the National Alliance and of National Vanguard, helping us to see what we must see if we are not to waste our lives. The big picture. Listen.
What's the most important thing in your life? Is it making as much money as possible? Is it getting along with other people and being popular? Is it security? Is it happiness? Well, of course, most of us would like to have financial security, and we would like to be happy. But for many of us, there's something more important than security and personal happiness. I'm talking now to the more serious-minded members of our audience, to the ones who are capable of understanding things like duty and personal responsibility. Duty and responsibility, those are almost bad words these days, definitely not fashionable. We've been conditioned by the media to be suspicious of people who talk about such things. This is the feel-good generation, the MTV generation. But really, we know that more important than feeling good is doing good, doing right. The most important thing for us is using our lives in the right way. The most important thing is having the right purpose and serving that purpose effectively. We need to look beyond our bank accounts and our personal hobbies, and our immediate circle of friends in order to find purpose. We need to see ourselves set in a larger context. We need to understand how our own lives are important as a part of the world around us, not just the world of here and now, but also the world of the future and the world of the past. We need to see our own lives as a part of the historical process. When we do this, when we see ourselves in context, then we begin to understand our responsibility, our purpose. We begin to understand what's really important in our lives. We see that we have a responsibility to the people who came before us and made it possible for us to live, to the people whose genius and work and sacrifice built our world for us, built our civilization for us, gave us our culture. We have a responsibility to ensure that their toil and sacrifice were not in vain. And we have a responsibility to the people who will come after us, a responsibility to all the future generations of our people. We must ensure that what we have inherited from our ancestors will be preserved and enhanced and strengthened by us and passed on to those who will follow us. This is the most important thing in our lives, understanding this purpose, accepting this responsibility. At least, it's the most important thing for those of us who are serious about our lives, those of us who have not become corrupted and trivialized by watching too much MTV. So we need to be concerned about what's happening to our world today. We need to become involved in it. We need to accept responsibility for it. That's the whole reason for American Dissident Voices. It's to help with understanding what's happening, and it's to provide a little push, a little inspiration to get you involved. In past programs, I've talked about many specific aspects of what we need to be concerned about. I've talked about specific threats to our world. I've talked about the breakdown of our system of justice. And I've given you specific examples. The acquittal of O.J. Simpson after he murdered two people. And the $43 million verdict against Bernard Goetz for defending himself against black muggers. I've talked about the lies and the hypocrisy of the government in Washington. I've talked about the government's ruinous trade policy. I've talked about the Jewish monopoly control of the news and entertainment media in America and the destructive way in which that control is used. I've talked to you about the movement to get rid of our Bill of Rights, the movement to scrap the First and Second Amendments, the movement to make it illegal for us to write or say anything which is not politically correct, and to take away our means to defend our rights against those who want to abolish them. And all of these things are important. We must look at details. We must look at specifics if we are to understand what to do. Today, though, I'd like to look at the big picture. I want to talk to you about what has happened to us and why and what we must do about it. First, let's back off a bit so that we can see the picture more clearly. 300 years ago, when nearly all of our ancestors were still in Europe, we had a pretty good grip on things. We were involved in the historical process. We had a feeling for our past and a sense of responsibility to the future. No one was telling us that it was wicked or racist or anti-Semitic or hateful to want to ensure a better world for our descendants. That was because we still had our wits about us, more or less, and we didn't let anyone into our midst whose aim was to weaken us and destroy us. We had no MTV. We were all whites. We were all Europeans. We had no slaves, no non-whites among us. We kept the Jews in their ghettos and very tightly circumscribed their activities. It was just us. We had common roots and a common concern for the future. Now, I'm oversimplifying things a bit to make my point, of course. Europeans did have disagreements among themselves. We did have wars from time to time, terrible wars. We did mistreat each other. But it was just us. It was all in the family. We had no aliens among us exercising influence over us and hating us and planning our destruction. Our books and our journals were written by us and were published by us. There was no Jew-controlled television. Our young people were taught in our schools and our universities by us, not by clever aliens attempting to corrupt and subvert. And among ourselves, just us, we were building a great civilization. In the 18th and 19th centuries, we created a world of science and music and literature and painting which greatly surpassed anything which had come before. And we spread our dominion over the earth. Wherever we went, we conquered. In the Middle East and India, in the Far East, and in the West, in the New World. We were proud and self-confident. We knew who we were. We were white. We were European. We did not mix with those who were not European. When we needed land for our people, we took it. If anyone raised his hand against us, we struck him down. And thus we built America. And it was a strong and good and progressive nation, a white nation. We did make mistakes during the past 300 years, though. In America, we brought in black slaves to work the land in the South. And we brought in Chinese coolies to work as laborers in the West. We kept ourselves separate from these non-white slaves and servants, but bringing them into our living space laid the groundwork for our present disaster. In France and elsewhere in Europe, we let ourselves be hypnotized by false propaganda about equality. We are all equal, all the same, this propaganda said, and we all should mix and be brothers, and no man should have more than another. So we let the Jews out of their ghettos, and we let them become citizens of European countries. They repaid us by corrupting our music and our literature, and by subverting every European institution. One of them, a Jew named Marx, launched communism, which eventually enslaved half of our world and murdered tens of millions of our people, usually the best among our people. The brightest and most energetic and most successful of our people were butchered by the tens of millions by the communists in Europe. In America, they weren't able to succeed with communism, but they infiltrated and took over our mass media of news and entertainment, our films, radio, television, book publishing, and major newspapers. And with these media, they pushed the false propaganda of liberalism. We are all equal, they said, black and white and Chinaman and Jew, all the same, except that you whites have the stain of guilt on you for having thought yourselves better than the rest of us, and now you must make it up to us for having mistreated us in the past. And with this propaganda, they wormed their way into our educational establishment, into our government, into all of our institutions. And because they controlled so many of the media, there was hardly a voice of opposition, hardly a voice of sanity and reason to be heard in opposition to their propaganda. And they were able to corrupt the minds of millions of young Americans. They were able to instill feelings of racial guilt and racial self-hatred into two generations of young white people. And with their growing influence, they were able to open America's borders to the non-white world. And they were able to force racial integration on our schools, our workplaces, our neighborhoods. They replaced our European music with jazz and rock and rap. They introduced what they fondly call modernism into art and literature, replacing our culture with a Judaized trash culture. They overturned the laws against miscegenation. They persuaded the leaders of the Christian churches to join their revolution against the white world. They turned our government into a cesspool occupied by people like Bill and Hillary Clinton. And so, here we are today, at the end of the 20th century, facing the prospect of becoming a minority in our own country before the middle of the next century, and so paralyzed by fear and guilt and self-hatred that while some of us look forward eagerly to our self-extinction, most of the rest of us refuse to do anything to avert it. Quite a mess. Now, I have greatly oversimplified the picture, just so that we can grasp the most important features. I have not mentioned the minority of Jews who never engaged in or supported the subversive activities of the majority of Jews. I have not talked about all the criminals among our own people, besides the Clintons, who have collaborated with the Jews. Those are details which are important. Those are the details which I have been talking about in every other program. But today, we want to grasp just the coarsest features of our predicament. We want to understand, in a very rough and simple way, what our situation is and what we must do about it. I'll spell out these rough and simple features. First, America has been transformed from a white country before the Second World War, a white country in which the 10% non-white portion of the population was strictly segregated from the white population, into a multiracial morass today. The non-white population in America is increasing so rapidly that it will constitute a majority, and we will be a minority within the next 50 years. Second, America's government is deliberately and forcefully implementing this racial transformation. The government, an institution which our ancestors created to be the guardian of our welfare has become the deadliest enemy of our people. It is deliberate government policy which is responsible for the flood of non-white immigrants, both legal and illegal, now pouring across our borders. It is deliberate government policy which feeds and houses and encourages the breeding of the huge and growing non-white underclass in our cities. It is deliberate government policy which mixes the non-white population with the white population and encourages miscegenation. Third, most of the white population in America is collaborating in its own destruction, partly from ignorance, partly from fear, but mostly from a blind, animalistic urge to conform to perceived norms of public opinion. Fourth, the mass media of news and entertainment provide the guiding spirit for white America's rush to self-destruction, and those media are largely in the hands of the Jewish minority. The controlled media, with virtual unanimity, push the party line of egalitarianism and multiculturalism and racial mixing. The controlled media, with virtual unanimity, push the party line of feminism and of toleration for homosexuality and of white guilt for supposed historic wrongs to non-whites. The media, by influencing the attitudes and opinions of most voters, wield the power which determines which politicians get elected to public office in America. The media, especially the media of film and television, have done more than any other institution to degrade the cultural and moral level of our people. And the people who wield the media as a weapon against us are Jews. That's our situation today, in very rough outline. And of course, I've left out 1,000 details and refinements and qualifications. I've not talked about the destructive anti-white doctrines of many of the Christian churches. I've not mentioned the slavishly pro-Jewish and anti-white policies of many powerful white politicians, such as Edward Kennedy, Bill Clinton, and Robert Dole. I've ignored economics altogether. I've said nothing about the destructive effects of the government's trade policy. I've not explored the Jews' motivation for what they're doing. I've just pointed out 4 basic facts. First, America is being transformed very rapidly from a white country to a non-white country. Second, the government is deliberately implementing this transformation. Third, most of the white population is not resisting the transformation. And fourth, the mass media, controlled by the Jews, are providing the driving force for it all. What this means to those of us who feel some sense of responsibility to our ancestors and to our posterity is that our people are being faced with the greatest threat ever, with the threat of extinction, and that we must do whatever we can to avert this threat. And what we must do, again in the very roughest and crudest terms, is first, destroy or neutralize the 2 hostile forces which are leading us to our destruction, namely, the government and the Jew-controlled media. And second, start our badly corrupted and misled people back on the road to duty and responsibility. I'm leaving out many important details, of course. I haven't even mentioned how we are to deal with the blacks in our midst, for example. But that is a detail we know that we can handle once we have taken care of the government and the Jewish media and begun curing our own people of their present sickness. So we know roughly what our problem is and roughly what we must do about it. Now we must get back to the details, because that's the only way we can make plans and execute them. But seeing the big picture is important in making plans, because it sets the boundaries for us. Once we understand the urgency of our situation, Once we understand the finality of the fate designed for us by our enemies, we know that we must either conquer or die. If we do not defeat those who intend to destroy us, and defeat them soon, then our people will perish forever. What this means for us is that no matter how small our likelihood for success, we must act. No matter how desperate the gamble, we must take it. We must not fail to act. We must not do nothing simply because no plan seems certain of success. No loss as a consequence of acting can be greater than the loss from failing to act. If we are responsible adults, if we are honorable adults, then we must act. There is no acceptable excuse for not acting. Not family obligations, not personal security, not career considerations. No excuse. If we do not act, then everything will be lost. Every reason for living, every reason for which our ancestors lived and worked and sacrificed and suffered and died. The deadly filth of Jewish liberalism will spread over our entire race and destroy it. Irrevocably. Forever. I promised you details, and now I'm running out of time. But here's one detail. No matter what else we do, our first move must be to alert all of our people to the situation I have outlined today. That's the first step. Education. Education alone is not enough, of course, but it is necessary. Many people will not want to be educated. They will be afraid to listen to anything which is not politically correct. They will hate us when we try to educate them. They will go back to their MTV. But for every fool filled with hate and fear who will not listen, we will find a person who already has an understanding of the things I have said today, and who only needs to hear us say them in order to gain enough confidence to know that his understanding is correct. And we will find other people who have not yet achieved understanding, but whose hearts and minds are open, and who can accept the truth when it is presented to them. And so that is our immediate task, yours as well as mine. We must reach out to our people. We must alert them. We must educate them. We must encourage them. We must inspire them. And here's a beautiful, wonderful thing. When you reach out to other people to encourage them and inspire them, you yourself will be encouraged and inspired. When you find out how many other people there are who share our concerns, our feelings, our values, our sense of responsibility, you cannot help but be encouraged. Even the hatred that you encounter from some people, especially from people in the controlled media, will be encouraging. For you will understand that they would not hate us so much if they did not fear us. And the reason that they fear us is that deep inside them, they know that what we say is true. So let's get out there, all of us, and start looking for encouragement.